It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So, I pride myself that after almost 16 years, I'm pretty good at reading my wife's mind. Which is important because she will say... chronology and topic have nothing to do with each other. She will pick up a topic that was being discussed yesterday without any context that that's what she's talking about, things like this. Or you will say two things and she will respond to the first one and not the second one, and you can get confused by that and stuff like this. I think I famously talked about the "who does that actor remind me of" game that I'm pretty good at. However, despite all of this, I will admit today it took me a good minute to figure out what was going on when, free of context, apropos of nothing, I get a text from my wife that just says, "single?" question mark. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I got there, though. I'm pretty pleased to say I got there.
You did.
But it did take a little bit, yes. It took me a while. I mean, first I did respond and said, "No, I'm married." But you know, it's like, who was this text for? Was this, what is happening here? And then I finally figured out she was inquiring as to how many episodes of the podcast we might be recording tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, that's what it was. But it took me a bit for that one. When the woman who is the reason you're not single asks if you're single,
it can really throw you off.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those glitch in the matrix kind of moments. So, hello everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that guarantees you cannot contract COVID-19 from listening to it.
Guaranteed. The only one.
I'm not saying that the other ones can. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we're the only ones who are officially saying you can't.
I wouldn't risk listening to the other
ones. No, I mean, I don't, at least until they're willing to make the same guarantee.
Yeah, right.
But we guarantee you can't from listening to it.
And you don't have to wear a mask or anything.
No.
Except no substitutes.
Yes. I am Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 468.
468.
Yep.
A lot of episodes.
That is a lot of episodes.
Oy.
Almost 9 years worth.
Yeah. 9 years very soon. We won't be recording on that date, but...
Yes, we will.
No, we're recording on the 19th, not the 17th.
Oh, not on the 17th. I'm sorry.
Which is the actual date.
That's right. I often ignore the actual date and just think of which Thursday is the Thursday.
William gets very confused by Irish people.
Which, that's why I confuse myself.
Yes. For those of you just joining us, let me explain how this show works. We have a hat. That's it. That's the whole premise.
That's it.
No. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people, cool people, helpful people, useful people, wonderful people, write in to that email address. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com with little notes, little comments, little topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards that manifest physically within the hat itself, with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's at present COVID-19 free hosts, draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored, do that for about an hour, and that's the whole show except the parts that aren't, which is most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now you know.
And knowing is half the battle.
I referenced that today. I'd had to do a timesheet reminder today, and I talked about all the weird 90s educational stuff they put in kids' programming. And I was like, that could vary anyway from He-Man telling you to brush your teeth to some paramilitary group explaining to you exactly what percentage of the battle was knowing to Wonder Woman telling you not to choose styrofoam.
That was pretty clever for G.I. Joe, that knowing is half the battle. That was very clever. It stuck with it.
That's for sure.
I mean, I didn't even watch G.I. Joe. I was too old for G.I. Joe, but I knew it. I knew that catchphrase, and I thought it was pretty clever for a military-based cartoon. Oh, that's cute. Yeah, good one.
No, I specifically remember He-Man telling me to brush my teeth and Wonder Woman telling me not to chew on styrofoam cups.
I don't remember any of those.
Very big. Super Friends. She golden lassoed a styrofoam cup out of a kid's hand.
Oh.
Because he was chewing on it. Because it's bad for your teeth and you swallow it. It's dangerous. I don't know.
I watched the Super Friends.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it must have been on for a long time.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like
or maybe it was
the same 12 episodes were
possibly.
For a long time. But we at least had two seasons because we had the normal season and then the season where we brought in all the ethnic Super Friends.
Yeah.
Samurai, El Dorado. There was at least one more.
There was a Native American one.
Well, there's Apache Chief.
Apache Chief.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
I like that. That's part of the great joke with the why did Aquaman have a jet ski? Superman didn't have a airplane and Apache Chief didn't have a wheelchair.
I liked the Super Friends a lot.
I really did too. They have not aged well.
No, but no. It's probably why.
I still do a decent Ted Knight impression as long as I'm specifically narrating what's happening in the Hall of Justice or the Legion of Doom.
It's probably why. The truth is, the Justice League, both the original and all of the extended Justice Leagues, are probably my favorite over any single hero because it's just a cool.
Yeah.
The team ups are just so cool.
But it's just, I mean, it's not just that it was but like the lack of effort that went into Super Friends is so transparent now.
Yeah.
From the acting to the animation
to the
plotting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love, like, sometimes they'd have to wear helmets in space and sometimes they wouldn't. Black Vulcan. Oh God. I think he came in when the ethnic Super Friends did too, which is terrible. Sometimes he was wearing pants and sometimes he was wearing just a Speedo and different colored tights and it was purely a coloring thing. And of course the woman doing the voice, they all had to do multiple voices and the woman doing Wonder Woman could not do another voice but her voice. So all the villainesses sounded like Wonder Woman.
Well, as problematic as it was when they introduced, like you said, all the ethnic superheroes.
Yes.
It was still meaningful. I mean,
they were trying their darndest.
I remember when I was a kid how cool that was to me.
Yeah.
That, oh, you know, this, they've got superheroes that aren't just ordinary white people.
And
I mean, you know,
every seventh word is in a different language. And it's never the hard words.
I get it, but
it's adorable.
Step. It was a step in the right direction.
And the reason I wrote the timesheet reminder thing, and I talked about this, was I made up a fake educational children's program that was called Timesheeters. And it included that a group of five surprisingly diverse teenagers discovered these magic shoes that would help them fight evil.
Shoes?
Shoes, yes. They were called Time Shoes. But it was a bit of a misnomer because they just helped them more efficiently record what they did for various hours of their day.
Mm.
They were up against the evil, what was his name? Oh, shoot, I already forgot it. I don't remember. I know he had minions, like unpaid Overtrimatron and Volunteerosaurus. Oh, man, I just wrote it today. You'd think I'd remember this stuff better. It only aired for five episodes. It was not popular.
pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yep.
All right. So, how was your week?
nothing, you know, extraordinary really happened though. But before I came over here, though, I looked at
that qualifies as during the week.
I looked at one of our old podcasts. I think it was 2015 or something.
Oh my goodness!
in March, and someone asked who would play us in like a movie or TV or something.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I didn't listen to it. I just looked at the comments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a few people who were mentioning who would play me mentioned Chris Cooper and Sam Elliott and some other person I don't remember. But
you fucking wish Sam Elliott.
Well, this is the thing about that. Okay, this is the thing about that. The thing that all of the people they suggested had in common was they have very distinctive ways of speaking, which I don't think sounds like me. But then I wondered, well, do I have some distinctive way of speaking? And the I've never thought that I did for a very specific reason, and that is because when I was a kid, I mean, remember, my heroes were Mel Blanc and Jim Henson, and I was really interested in interpersonal communication and in linguistics and in conversation, and I felt like I got a pretty good sense of what the most generic American English accent was, and that I spoke that way. And I got a confirmation on that a little bit when I was visiting Toronto, and I was with a group of other high school kids, I was at a restaurant or something, and the person talking to me said, I thought you were from here when you came up here and started talking, but you know those people over there, they do not sound like they're from here. And these were my classmates. And so I said, oh, okay, well, why is that? He said, because they speak with a little bit of an accent, which I didn't even notice. To me, they sounded just like me. So they came up and...
but that just means you sound Canadian.
Well, or Torontoian or whatever. Yeah.
That's in Canada. I mean...
But people in Toronto might sound different than people in Quebec and people in...
Quite possibly. But I'm saying that doesn't imply you have the most generic American
accent.
No,
that's true. It could mean that I'm very good at sounding like whoever I'm around.
Or that you just sound like people from Toronto.
Or people like Toronto have a very generic sounding American
possibly.
Accent.
Possibly. I think people frequently think they have the most generic accent. Because I spent for ages thinking that the West Coast didn't have one.
But you don't... I wouldn't guess that you're... I mean, if I met you and didn't know where you're from, I wouldn't be able to guess where you're from.
I don't think it's that distinct, but it's... Well, and also, I have that thing where I pick up accents.
Yeah.
Like, that thing that makes me look super racist. When I talk to people, I frequently adjust for that.
Yeah, I do too.
And I think... I don't know. I think they've said that, like, Midwest, and I think there's specific reporters that were considered the generic. And it used to be a thing that you would teach local news reporters to speak with a Midwestern accent.
Right. Well, when I was a kid, I was kind of aware of this. And I just sort of tried to conform to what I thought was the most generic sounding voice, which means I didn't sound much like the people around me. I didn't sound much like my family. Although when I'm hanging out with my family, I'll sometimes pick up a little bit of a Southern Iowa, Northern Missouri drawl or whatever. Which, by the way, is a perfectly natural linguistic thing to happen.
Oh, no, I think it's like if you ever watch John Barrowman, who his parents are Scottish, but he moved to Illinois when he was like 9 or whatever. He sounds American most of the time. When he gets around his parents, the Scottish kicks in.
Right.
Stu, one of our listeners, his family's Welsh. He, weirdly, lived in Wales and then lived in Scotland and then moved here. And he has a very Southern English accent to him. But apparently, if he's hanging around his parents or if he's had a couple drinks, the Welsh starts to kick back in.
And again, this is something linguists know about. It's not weird or anything, yep, or racist even. It's just how people are. They tend to try to speak in a way that of the people they're around or the people they relate to the most.
Yeah.
But all of that said, I don't think I have a very distinctive way of speaking. Like if someone did a film about my life, which would be terrible, and they cast somebody, I don't think that person would have to do like Tom Hanks had to do when he played Fred Rogers and sort of affect his voice so he sounded a little like Fred Rogers. No. I don't think anybody would have to do that. I think they would just play they would just speak like themselves.
But that's also very much an issue of how famous the individual is.
Right, but like in the all the President's Men or whatever. I mean, Dustin Hoffman didn't have to do anything.
No, he just sounded like Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, and if you've ever seen the guys they were playing in interviews, they sound like ordinary, you know.
Yeah,
you wouldn't do anything to your voice to sound like them. But you'd have to, you know, if you were playing Howard Cosell, or if you were playing...
people who are known. People who you do an impression of.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Yeah.
But I don't...
Which is why I personally think Judy Tenuta would be the best choice to play you in a movie.
I don't even know who that is.
I know, and if you did, it's hilarious. People who know. Look up Judy Tenuta. She's an old comic. Look her up. She can do William.
But you don't think I have any kind of distinctive cadence or anything like that?
No, I fall asleep most of the time when you're talking.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I know, but I mean, it helps. No, I don't particularly think you do
anymore than I do. That it's odd that the suggestions that were made were people who have a very distinctive way of talking.
I think it was more. I could very much see Chris Cooper playing you.
But why?
I don't know. I think it speaks more to the kind of characters he plays.
So, okay, well, I mean, the one thing I can remember him playing was the father in October Sky. In American Beauty, was he?
He played the neighbor father.
Oh, no, I was thinking October Sky. He was a coal miner.
Yeah, no, in American Beauty, he was the closeted, gay, homophobic, ex-military man.
Oh, no.
So not you at all. No, it's just he has a knack for playing very earnest, mid-American white people.
I guess.
I think Sam Elliott's an insane choice. I think Sam Elliott, I think Sam Elliott would play really well your inner, like, super ego.
What's that?
I think if you envision the ultimate version of yourself, I think Sam Elliott could play that guy pretty well.
Really? The ultimate version of myself.
He has a very strong, stable, again, earnest... Like he's just a very genuine individual who people can rely on, and he comes
in
and he helps things.
But isn't he also sort of stereotypically cast in like kind of masculine roles or whatever? I mean, I don't think there's anything about me that comes across as strongly masculine.
I don't know. That's not something I would particularly associate. I mean,
okay.
Any more than I would say Hollywood casts all of its men in masculine roles.
Well,
unless they're going to make a point of it.
But I mean, like, he's cast as a cowboy and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I give off a cowboy vibe to anybody, ever.
Yeah, no, I could see it.
What, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
There's a simplicity of purpose in it. Yeah. Straightforward and earnest. Are what I think of as traits in you. Now, they're not traits that you're very successful at. That's the thing. I mean, straightforward. Even then. Because you're constantly having to amend what you said because you don't feel you expressed it correctly the first time. I guess earnest counts because it's not like you make shit up.
Well, I'm definitely attempting to be straightforward. That's for sure.
Yes, and that's the thing. And
I
picture like your ideal version is you can just say what you say and it makes sense the first time. And it's what you mean. And you are just... a stable base which people can rely on.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. But he's got that
lone
big mustache,
farmer.
Though, too.
Yes, yes.
I don't know if I can grow one of those. I've often wanted to, though.
Give it a shot.
I've often give wanted to. I don't know why. I just thought...
Fun fact, though, I have seen him. He can get rid of it. It does shave off.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So he does get
He could play separate.
So how did GammaCon go? I've been kind of curious.
GammaCon was pretty okay. Some of my friends weren't there, which was sad. And some of my games got canceled because people had emergencies and had to leave. I had a perfectly good time. I would say it was less fun than last year. My sister-in-law thought she had more fun than last year. And Trish was undecided. So it was fine. I bought a couple of games, not RPGs. I didn't play a lot of RPGs. The one I was really excited to play ended up getting canceled. But I played some card games and things. And the funny thing is I ended up signing up for these games that all were the same creator.
Oh.
They were very different games, but they were made by the same guy, and I bought two out of the three. One of the third one I couldn't buy. It's not technically published yet. He's still playtesting it. But yeah, so I bought a game called Legends of Drastia? Drastia? It's sitting right over here someplace. And another one called Fates of Madness that was pretty cool. but yeah, not too much. It was fine. It was fine.
Did you play your role-playing game with your group this past week?
No.
That's next week.
No.
No.
No, it's really annoying. One of our players is working next week, so he can't do it then.
Oh, that's right.
We couldn't do it this
Super
weekend
because
they couldn't cope with watching Super Tuesday.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it'll come up.
And there's nothing you can do to prepare for it.
No, but I am working to keep myself busy. I'm playing a game right now called Vampyr.
Oh, yeah, right. How's that going?
It's getting interesting.
Yeah.
I'm getting the hang of it. It's tricky. Like, I intend to eat some people and get more powerful that way, but it's not really a good opportunity yet to do it. So I'm just playing how I'm playing, and it can be tough in places. I've had several instances where I die a whole bunch on, like, a particular boss or something. And it's weird. I haven't played like this in a long time where it's like I just have to practice and I get better and I get there. But it's kind of fun. The mood is very on point for what I'm going for.
Right.
It becomes a very depressing game at a certain point because you're learning about people's secrets and things like that.
Yeah.
The secrets are never good.
Oh.
They're always like, oh, this person's lying about who they are so they can make money. Oh, this person charges innocent people to take a ride in an ambulance.
Is this to help you feel better about killing them?
No, weirdly, the mechanic is the more I have a connection to them, the more I know about them, the more experience they're worth.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't. I think it's just in keeping with the sort of dark, depressing tone of the game. But yeah, I'm getting the hang of it. I am really kind of enjoying it. Yeah, so that's fun.
What else has been going on this week?
I saw three movies.
Boy.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I have not been sleeping well. So some of them are in the middle of the night.
Oh.
Sorry, but really, I saw a movie, and then I saw two movies that are together. So last night, we watched Jojo Rabbit.
Oh.
Had been excited to see. I don't know. My feelings on this movie have altered over time because I remember a couple years ago where there's just an article that's like, so Taika Waititi says he wants to make a comedy in which he plays Hitler, but it's like an imaginary Hitler of a 10-year-old Nazi boy. And I remember going, I like Taika Waititi, but what the fuck? This sounds just no. Why are we doing this? And then we're looking more into it. I'm like, I guess it's really going to happen. We'll see. All right. And then the first trailer came out, and I'm like, whoa, this looks pretty good. And then people said it was pretty good. And then it got a bunch of Oscar nominations. So I was like, I want to see this. And so I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
I don't know if we're really going to, or maybe we're trying to wait to hear from other people what they think of it first.
I would highly recommend it. It is very, very good.
Good.
Here's some things I can tell you that are useful. I don't think it's in poor taste at all.
Okay.
Also, yes, it has moments that get you in the fields, but like get you in the feels, but I wasn't crying or anything. Like it doesn't have like gut-wrenching moments particularly. It is very surreal. It's extremely Wes Anderson-y.
Yeah.
It's very sort of surreal in that way that I'm like, it's not quite a metaphor, but you still feel like these things didn't really happen or just sort of didn't happen in this way necessarily.
Right.
Brilliantly acted, especially all the younger actors who like haven't hardly been around, the kids and stuff.
Right.
They do an amazing job. Scarlett Johansson also does an amazing job, which is fun to see because I forget that.
Yeah.
She's in a lot of mainstream blockbuster shit where I mean, she does fine, but anybody could.
Right, right.
And the only other thing I get is all these interviews where she's saying things that make me cringe. This was a genuinely nuanced and difficult role, and she pulled it off brilliantly. Hmm. I will also say the Adolf Hitler imaginary friend thing, it's a definite part of the movie, and it comes up periodically, but it doesn't, like, dominate a lot of it. Hmm. It's mostly just the story of this kid and the hijinks that ensue. I think it's a very interesting look at sort of the parallels through the complications of being a child and the complications of living while at war.
Right, right.
And, like, how they obviously there's how they intersect, because both are happening. But weird, like, parallels and things. And I found it funny. It's really funny, I think. It's a very funny movie. It is a comedy, and I wouldn't even be like a comedy drama. It has dramatic moments, but it's a comedy. And yeah, we both really enjoyed it.
Well, our ambivalence about it doesn't. It's not so much about the Nazi angle, really. It's just like it just didn't. I mean, like you were saying, I haven't seen every Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah,
not interested in every Wes Anderson movie. No. So, you know, so I get that it's that vibe, and it's like, yeah, maybe I like it, maybe I won't.
Well, it's also not, because, see, Wes Anderson movies are very whimsical.
Yeah.
They're also really depressing.
They can be, sure.
This one is not.
I'm not saying that, if someone makes something with Nazis in it, that's always going to be A-OK with us. I'm just saying that.
No, in general, I won't watch Nazis.
Yeah, that's kind of true for us too. I mean, even documentaries about Nazi Germany, it's like, I don't care.
No, and this is a very, very different take, because this doesn't take place in Berlin or anything.
Right.
It's in a very small town in 1945.
But I mean, when we first heard of it, mostly because Taika Waititi was connected to it, we pretty much knew it was probably going to be fine.
Yeah, and but I never had really much interest.
Yeah, well, that's,
I was
didn't
very trepidatious when that's I saw right. that first trailer.
Yeah, we didn't either. But again, less because, you know, we didn't think he was going to be tasteless with the Nazi thing. We just weren't sure we'd like it.
Yeah.
So.
And I expected to like it. Okay. I liked it better than I thought I would.
Okay. We might see it.
And also, cast members I didn't know were in it. Sam Rockwell has a very large part.
Yeah.
Rebel Wilson has a pretty decent-sized part. I did not know about these. Stephen Merchant I remembered, and he's only in a small bit. I also like, and this is a very weird thing, but for some reason it amused me. No one could keep their German accent the whole movie. Most of them only slipped up one or two places, but everybody did. It was very weird.
I wonder why. Why even try to do that? I mean, because obviously, in the real world, they wouldn't be speaking English. They'd be speaking German. And so.
And I found that interesting, because there's one point where he's dealing with a soldier that's not German, and there's a lot of noise going on. And at first I was like, I just missed the line. But then I'm like, no, he said gibberish, because the kid immediately was like, what? I don't understand you.
I mean, I don't...
No. Well, and they play with it. Not everybody's accent is as pronounced or anything. Honestly, I think it's part of the comedy.
Oh, sure, sure.
But what cracks me up is I don't think it was intentional. Everybody slipped, like, once.
Yeah.
which was just, I don't know, it was just funny to me. Even, like, Scarlett Johansson, I'm like, oh, kind of lost a German for a second there. Now it's back.
Now, Taika Waititi, he directed it. Yeah.
He directed it. He wrote the screenplay. It is based off of a novel.
Oh, okay.
And he wrote the screenplay and he directed it.
I didn't know it was based on a novel.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And it's very the kids do such a great job. It's just such a believable 10-year-old, like, coping with like because he starts out very hardcore jingoist. I mean, that's the whole thing. His imaginary best friend is Hitler.
Right,
like,
right.
That's the thing. At one point, his other friend's like, I thought I was your best friend. And he's like, no, you take second to the Fuhrer. The Fuhrer always comes first. So unless the Fuhrer is hiding in a fat kid's little body, I'm afraid you're going to have to come up with second. And his friend says, yeah, you're right. Guess I'm just a kid in a fat kid's body. Like, I don't even know what that meant. But yeah, it's adorable, and it's very, I say it's very surreal. It's also very believable somehow. Like, everything that's happening in it felt very real.
Yeah.
But, no, I highly recommend it. It's very good. And it's PG-13.
Hmm. Like Birds of Prey should have been.
No. Sorry. This movie exists, unlike Birds of Prey should have been. That movie should just have not happened.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things about this movie that Birds of Prey should have been. Birds of Prey could have just been this movie. That would have been good. This is a good movie.
Hmm.
Could have been that. I also watched a couple of weird ones. There's a movie called The Houses October Built.
Hmm. Never heard of that one.
I had heard about it for a while because I watch horror movies and it would frequently pop up on, you know, Netflix's list and stuff.
Mm.
But the pictures were very scary to me. It was just like dimly silhouetted shots of like people in like creepy clown outfits and shit.
Mm.
And I'm like, first of all, second of all, this is clearly Satan's not involved. It's just creepy people.
Mm.
And I tend not to like that. I think at some point, the guy who does the Good Bad Flicks channel that I sometimes watch, where he basically does a little making fun of a movie that's so bad that it's good.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that feature, he has a feature called Exploring, where he just spends 15 to 20 minutes talking about the making of a film that he likes. And at some point, I think I had seen the Exploring for Houses That October Built, and it made me curious, and it kept popping up, and I was like, I should check this out. And I did. And it was really interesting. And then I watched the second one, which is also really interesting. It's not great movies. They're not great movies. They're good movies, though, for being low-budget horror movies. And they're really different than any other horror movies. It's the first one is arguably just a found footage movie.
Okay.
And the whole thing is about five friends that decide they want to check out haunted houses around Halloween, like different haunted house attractions.
Okay.
Across the country. They get an RV and they drive all over. And then things start to get weird because they basically start hearing rumors of this like extreme one that travels around the country in different place every year, and they sort of are trying to find it and see what happens. And then hijinks ensue. But here's the thing. Most of the movie really is these five people traveling around the country, going to genuine haunted houses, interviewing the actual staff at these haunted houses and asking them questions about why they do it and what's with the upswing in people doing this and how extreme they get. And it's real people. Like, when you look at the credits, most of the credits is just like himself, herself, themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the Exploring thing about this, and this thing, these two guys, one they'd sort of worked together, they'd gone to film school together, they decided they wanted to make this movie, and so they got one of the guy's actual brothers, and a friend of his, and another friend who's an actress, and the five of them are just essentially playing themselves.
Right.
And they went around, and they did this, and they interviewed people everywhere, and they did, and this was in 2011, and they made the film, and they released it out to festivals, and people really liked it, and somebody bought distribution rights. But they had one problem with it, which was it had been filmed in SD. And so the studio was like, you have to make it in HD. So they remade the film.
Hmm.
Still casting themselves,
mm-hmm.
but did the whole film over again. But used a lot of their interview footage because, again, it was supposed to be them interviewing, so the fact that it was in SD is, like, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so the film that now exists is from 2014,
mm-hmm.
But it was hugely successful, and they ended up making a second one. But, yeah, it's just very neat because there's very real stuff here, and it's sort of interesting. It really is sort of half horror movie, half documentary.
Hmm.
And also the interactions are very good because these people are real life friends and
sure.
relations. Apparently they wrote the script. It's semi ad lib. They wrote the beginning and the end of each scene.
Mm.
And in between, and I've seen a lot of movies that do that and often suck.
Right, right.
These do it real well. These, by and large, these feel like genuine conversations. And the second one, which came out in 2017, weirdly apparently had the same budget, but they had gotten better after having made the movie twice. It's sort of stretching it, so it looks better. But that's, again, sort of part of the plot. And, in fact, they start using drone footage, and part of it is they get, like, they buy the camera guy a drone. Because the second one is a very similar plot, but it, and it suffers a little bit from that whole Jurassic Park thing. You know how they made three Jurassic Park movies?
Yeah.
And then that was the end? And then they made Jurassic World, and everybody was like, this is the same universe where the Jurassic Park movies happened, right? Why would you make a Jurassic Park now? Like, you know what happened. This, I had that feeling here.
Right.
Because it, spoiler, it's a horror movie. The first movie does not end well.
Right, right.
And the second movie is a similar thing, and I'm like, why would anybody ever, what? No. But the second one ends up altering the story in a ways that sort of explains things and almost makes me want to go back and watch the first, because apparently they planned this from the beginning, and in theory it's a four movie arc, but they're waiting a while for they're doing other stuff and things for the third one. But yeah, and it's just unique, and it's not jump scare heavy. It's a very slow burn. Sometimes it barely even sort of qualifies as horror, more thriller like.
Yeah.
The second one, they explore a lot of places, and they went for, like, different things. So, like, they explored an escape room experience thing. They did a – apparently somewhere in Georgia, there's a annual zombie 5K where you run a genuine 5K, and some people get to be zombies, and they it's like flag football, and they're trying to get the flags off of you. And they do it at a ground where they train first responders for things. So there's all sorts of fake, like, broken buildings and fake subways. And it's a real event. They just went to the event and did it. They also went to Minneapolis for a zombie pub crawl that's, like, the world's biggest. There's, like, 30,000 people attend. And during it, and again, this actually happened, and then they just filmed it, they had a eating contest. And it was a brain-eating contest. They got, like, cow brains or something. Two of the guys from the movie did the eating contest. And they also got Takeru Kobayashi, the Japanese professional competitive eater, at his height, as himself, to participate. And, in fact, that was the thing. They were hoping to get him involved, and they couldn't get a hold of him, and then they ran into it. It was very weird. But so he actually was – they actually did a real eating contest, and they filmed that and stuff. So it was just very – it's very weird. Apparently, when the 2011 version was at festivals, one of the critics was like, this is awesome because it's a real movie. Like, it, what happens in the movie is real until it's not. And it's really hard to tell where that line is. And that was very much this vibe, too.
Yeah.
So for just originality, it gets a lot of credit. And, yeah, and it's not that scary. And you know me, I hate jump scares and stuff like that. There is some. I mean, they go through haunted houses. Haunted houses are built on jump scares.
Right, right.
But it's still very removed. It's like them videoing somebody else going through it. Like, it's not, I didn't jump or anything like that. Yeah, so I really liked those. I did not expect to. I was... Oh, no. Okay. I think... Oh, man. It's getting wonky again. I hope it's working. We'll see.
I guess we'll see.
We'll see what happens. If you guys don't hear this, we're sorry. It hung up for a minute, but it's going again. But it's going, like, weirdly choppy. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. It appears to be functional. All right, let's draw a thing.
Let's draw a thing.
Today's question is brought to you by canned garbanzo beans.
Beth wants to know.
What does Beth want to know? Beth wants to know a lot of things. I think we're Beth's life coaches, and I really feel like we're unqualified.
Since it's Beth we're talking about, yes. I think what's really happening is she can tell we need life coaches. So she sends in questions to get
us. That make us think about shit we hadn't thought about before.
Right.
Like closet organization.
And then if we don't if we don't do it right, well, then she can always get on the blog and set us straight.
That is true. That is true. All right. Well, then thank you, Beth.
Yes, because we probably do need life coaches.
Yes.
In episode 461.
Okay.
Well, that wasn't very long ago. Tony mentions that the producer scrubs clean rather than use body wash soap.
Yeah, she just uses she has a scrubby.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. What is her morning, evening face care strategy?
Interesting.
Maybe I'm not. I don't understand.
Because
is the presumption that she like wears makeup or something, or?
No, the presumption is that all good-hearted people, and especially all women, have a particular cleaning regimen for their face that does not happen within the shower.
Oh.
Oh, okay. But wow. This is the thing. My wife, no wear makeup.
Mm.
Like, hardly ever.
Yeah.
She wore some the other day because they were doing a Mardi Gras-themed thing at work.
Mm.
So she wore some that kind of went with that. But in general, not so much any makeup. The short answer is I don't actually know. The longer answer is it varies. Most of the time, I think, again, nothing. I think she just sort of scrubs her face like she scrubs the rest of her.
Yeah.
I don't think she washes it with soap. That's what I do. I just wash it with the same soap I use to wash the rest of myself.
Me too.
In the shower.
Yeah, the same.
Sometimes if I've been particularly sweaty or if it's a weekend and I didn't shower the day before, my face will get oily or whatever and it'll start to irritate me. And then I may soap and water at the sink.
Gotcha.
But in the shower, normally, face. She has tried different things. Moisturizing things and stuff of that. Some of them I think are for her face. Some of them I think are for her body. There have been instances where she had to use something. Right now, currently, she bought vitamin E liquid capsules and is breaking them open and putting the vitamin E on her arm. That's because she burned herself rather severely and she's trying to keep it from scarring.
Mm.
And, I mean, I think there have been similar things to that. But in general, I don't officially know. But I don't think much of anything because, again, she doesn't wear makeup. Hmm. She has really good skin. She has better skin than me. And I don't wear makeup. But
I went to a dermatologist recently to have a wart removed.
Oh, my goodness.
From my face.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yep.
I thought you just had two noses.
But other than the wart, anyway... The dermatologist said that I had good skin or good complexion or whatever. I don't remember exactly how she said it, but it made me feel very uncomfortable. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
She's like, ooh, look at that skin.
It wasn't quite like that.
She's like, your entire face is a baby's butt.
No, it wasn't that either. But it was like, you know.
Did she lick you?
No.
You should tell the authorities.
No, listen, I'm saying it. I knew what she meant. I knew she just meant, you know, from a mm-hmm. professional dermatologist perspective. I knew that mm-hmm. in my head, mm-hmm. but somehow I felt uncomfortable with her saying that about my skin.
Dr. Lowenstein, you're trying to seduce me.
It was so weird, and I felt so dumb because it's like, what's wrong with you? Why are, you know, this isn't strange or weird at all, and you're feeling weird. That's dumb. But I did. I felt weird about it. So dumb. But I guess I have good skin. I didn't know.
Apparently.
I didn't know that. And I've seen her before.
You have a constant 3 days growth of beard, so it's really hard for me to judge your skin.
And I did then, too. It's like.
Yeah, but she's a dermatologist, so you can see beyond that.
Yeah, but she didn't say any. Maybe that's part of it, is I'd seen her before, and she didn't really say anything. I think, though.
What is going on with you that you have a regular dermatologist?
Because the wart I had removed recently could come back kind of thing.
I have had that. I don't think I've had warts removed, like, properly, but I've had little warts that I've just, like, fucked with for years and then eventually managed to get them to go away. But, yeah, they do sort of come back.
Yeah, if I find a wart on my hands, sometimes I get them on my hands. But this one, for the last couple of years, like 2 years ago or something, a wart showed up like right underneath my right nostril. And so,
that'd be your tick.
And yeah, shaving is a real problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, okay, I'm going to go get this taken care of. And I saw her and she took care of it. And then it came back. Although she said that this was several weeks ago now. She said that it was in a slightly different spot or something. But
anyway. Oh my God, it's mobile.
But I don't remember her saying anything about my skin the first time like that. So
since the first time, she's had dreams.
No.
And she can't get your skin out of her
head. Don't do that. I just felt so dumb.
Here's what's going to happen. Next time you have to go in there, I'm going to come with you.
I didn't say
we're
going to
confront her on this.
But
what are your intentions towards this man's skin?
But I wonder if I blushed. Because that would be really embarrassing if I did.
That is a good question.
I don't think I did. But
I
was a little befuddled
recently.
By it, so I didn't say anything.
Blushing as an adult is a weird, inconsistent deal. we were watching an episode of Taskmaster, and the task was they had this guy they use a lot. He's a Swedish guy. He's very pale, go figure. And the task was you have 10 minutes to make this man blush as much as possible. And it's hard to make a grown-up blush, exactly. Like, everybody has a different trigger for it.
Yeah,
do you tend to blush when you're embarrassed?
Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah.
I think I do only in a very specific scenario. And frequently, it's when I'm vaguely angry also. I can feel my face get hot. But there's not, a consistency to it. I mean, it doesn't help that I'm not often embarrassed. But Trish was like, I don't know if I blush about anything anymore.
I mean, I think it's harder. I think it's harder to embarrass me than it used to be. I mean, I think that's true for most people.
Well, I mean, 9 years on this podcast will give you a bit of a thick skin there.
I suppose.
Yeah, no, I've been trying to make you blush for 9 years straight.
But I don't. I do. I do blush, and like I said, I don't think I did, but I might have. It took me by surprise, and I didn't say anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I thought that was another thing. It was like, am I supposed to? Should I say something? What does a person say?
And she's like, ooh, he's a dermatological virgin.
It was so weird. Well, I do remember the first time I went to see her, she was very concerned, and I understand this is true for a lot of dermatologists, about, you know, looking for signs of possible skin cancer. Or
I mean, yeah, that's the only thing that makes them interesting.
Right. And, you know, so... You know, I don't have anything like that going on, so she must have thought, wow, that's really
good. There's a whole episode of Seinfeld about that. He dates a dermatologist, and she says something about saving lives, and he's like, what are you talking about? And so he gives her a lot of grief. She's just a dermatologist. And then somebody shows up, and turns out she saved him from skin cancer. He's like, oh, I forgot about skin cancer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
But maybe, I you know, I wear hats when I go outside and everything, so...
You wear hats when you go inside.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you have a top of your head anymore.
I think that helps protect my face and neck and ears.
Oh, from the sun and things. That would make sense. That would make sense.
I think it's JFK's fault that there was probably a spike in skin cancer after him, because I think he's the reason men stopped wearing hats. But I don't know if there was a spike in skin cancer.
This was a surprise all around. This conversation took a hard left.
Well, I think that's true. I think a lot of men stopped wearing hats after him because he didn't wear a hat.
JFK famously hatless?
Yeah.
Did not know this was a thing.
Well, I mean, think of any image that you can call to mind of him. Is he wearing a hat?
Yes. Name any other president. And I'll think of any image I can call to mind of them. None of them are ever wearing hats. Except for some reason, I picture somebody doing an LBJ impression wearing like a goofy fisherman's hat, but I'm pretty sure I made that one up.
Well, that's all. That's after. Like, if you
Yeah,
think,
I know, but I'm saying every single president, I can't picture any of them in a hat.
Abe Lincoln, for example.
Okay, that's... Yeah, okay, I'll give you Abe Lincoln.
And if you think of FDR outside, nope. not doing a speech inside, he's almost always wearing a hat.
Is he?
Sure. Eisenhower almost always wore a hat if he was outside.
They were all hat people. Yeah. But JFK is like, fuck those things.
Yeah. He's the only one that, right? I mean, everyone around him, all the men around him wore hats, and he wasn't wearing one. It's his fault.
I'm not surprised. It seems very believable to me that this is a thing that historians know, and yet I don't.
No, I'm just making it up.
It also seems very believable to me that, like, literally no one in the world has noticed this except you.
Well, that, I don't think that's, well, maybe.
I don't debate that it's, that you believe it's true, at least. I will say that much.
But I'm like,
oh, this is a historical thing I wasn't aware of.
I say it.
This is just a thing that William noticed.
I've been saying this for years, and I'm half joking. And the reason is because part of the joke of it is everyone talks about, how influential Jackie O was on fashion and everything.
Yeah.
But nobody talks about Kennedy having any impact. But I think one could reasonably say, you know, you see pictures of men walking around him even, and they're all wearing hats. But nobody wears hats like that anymore. Why not? Well, he didn't. And so one could reasonably make that connection, which I do, but I don't know. It's kind of a joke.
But he was assassinated. I would think people would be like, apparently not wearing a hat to get you killed.
He was celebrated. That's, you know, and elevated.
I do know he made sleeping around popular.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying that, you know.
Spike in hat. Is he the reason for the existence of the band Men Without Hats? Is that an homage?
The fact is, a lot of people, like, James Dean didn't wear a hat, you know.
Yeah, for the, like, three movies he was in. Everybody's like, James Dean's big. James Dean was in, like, three movies and then died.
But the influence and the reach of his influence was pretty significant, and I can't think of a single picture of him with a hat on.
No, but I only picture, like, three pictures of him.
Well, that's all you need.
Marilyn Monroe, no hats.
Well, it's true that that women also stopped wearing hats, and Jackie was always wearing a hat, so that kind of flies in the face of that theory.
And increase in skin cancer suddenly.
Skin cancer just through the roof. It's just a joke that I tell. I don't know anything. I think it's funny. It amuses me. And I would have said something to her about it, to my dermatologist about it.
I was frozen in fear,
not knowing what to say. It was very weird. I don't know. Is it an old guy thing? Is it because I'm old and I'm like, what, this is? And
no, it's a William thing.
And she's young, too, so I don't know if that had anything to do with it.
Oh, God. Here's the thing. People talk about, like, I'm getting older and my doctors keep getting younger and they hate that. I've had the same doctor for, like, over 15 years. It's still happening. When I started with him, he was older than me. Now I'm pretty sure he's younger than me. I don't know how that happened. Freaking me out.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. It was just a weird moment. I hate it when I have weird moments, and I was like, what is wrong with you, you idiot?
Hope she's not podcasting about it right now. That'd be awkward.
She's a very good dermatologist. If I could remember her name, I'd totally recommend her, because she's very good.
Just call her up and be like, hey, no, that guy. That's why it's better you don't know her name.
That's better I don't know right now to tell you. That's
why.
Yeah,
exactly. And our wicked, wicked listeners. I forgot to tell you, I finally read the edits from one of my editors on the most recent draft of my book.
What do you mean you finally read?
I hadn't been reading them yet. I'm sort of waiting for winter to be over for me to get into it.
Oh, really? I didn't
know
you were
putting it
on.
And to be fair, I've only got like 3.5 editors.
Okay, well, that's still a good number.
Well, last time I had like 9, so. Right, there's a lot less for me to read, is what I'm saying.
I understand. But that's a lot of editors still, total.
No.
I've never had that many editors.
I absolutely shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth, but I'm just saying there's a lot less to do in that.
Recently
I decided to check out one of them. Mostly I knew they really liked it, and I kind of needed to pick me up that particular day. So.
Oh.
I don't know what's worse, the fact that this editor, who is 15 years older than me, is nitpicking places where they're like, young people wouldn't say this.
What?
Yep. Or the fact that I'm pretty sure they're right in almost all the instances.
Really?
Yep. I think they've got – now, to be fair, they have kids, and so that may be helping the equation too.
Oh, sure, sure.
But, yeah, no, I think there's certain turns of phrase that they're like, people that age nowadays don't say that.
Huh.
And I'm like, oh, I guess that's true.
I didn't notice anything like that.
Well, and it is also a new level of editing here. It's getting very nitpicky, and I don't mean that in a bad way. But,
right,
like,
right.
Like, the most common thing – you know, the most common thing when you edited the first time was needs more detail here.
Yeah, yeah.
There's still a little bit of that. But a lot of it in her edits are come up with a more original way to say that.
Oh, sure.
Because there's just cliched turns of phrases.
Sure, sure,
there.
Sure, yeah.
But a lot of that, and it's being actually helpful. And, right. And there's a lot of positive feedback, and I'm enjoying that. And I'm having that thing. I particularly had this with Jazz, which I've had to sort of process. Jazz would make a lot of comments, and then suddenly there'd be like two chapters of nothing. And I'm always like, what the fuck? And I've told myself, and this is probably somewhat accurate, that's when they get sort of caught up in reading the story.
Usually.
And so don't pay to, and that's and
usually
I,
a good thing.
I talked to this person, and they were like, yeah, no, that usually means I was. But yeah, but I understand, because yeah, there's a lot of things that they can now see with clarity that you guys couldn't earlier, because there were much bigger problems that you were focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. So yeah, that was nice and informative. Yeah, I got in that box is a physical notebook with theoretically in two different colors, both my parents' edits.
Oh, wow.
And then I also have another physical copy of about a half to a third of the novel that somebody edited.
Hmm.
And that's it.
That's a big box.
Yeah, I think they must have padded it pretty heavily. I sent them two notebooks worth, but they're keeping one. So they put their edits in one so they can keep the other one.
Mm.
Still haven't quite gotten that this isn't the book yet. But that's fine. They're adorable. Speaking of which, did I talk before about post-concussion syndrome?
You did not.
Yes. So my father's been doing great.
Yeah. That's good.
His vertebrae healing up is wonderful. And then suddenly, he starts getting weird. He can't remember things very well. He starts getting dizzy, stuff like that. Take him to the ER. Take him to the regular doctor. Apparently, a thing called post-concussion syndrome you can have, which is where you got a concussion, and then it gets better, and then suddenly it gets bad again.
Huh.
And apparently, just can happen over unspecified periods of time for an unspecified number of cycles and time periods.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's just a thing that can happen.
Huh.
And so right now it's they're sort of going back. So it's more annoying. It's not life threatening or anything.
Right.
It's just annoying. It's very frustrating for him, especially because he was doing fine again, and now reading is hard and stuff like that. But of course, also he's 85, so anytime it happens, they're gonna have to go to the ER just in case it's not post concussion syndrome and he's having a stroke or
Right.
So it's annoying, but otherwise he's doing. Like, in terms of the physical healing, it's still doing pretty well.
Well, that's good.
So, but yeah.
That's good, at least.
Ugh, concussions are messed up.
Yeah, they really are.
I'm so glad I have not had one.
It's why kids playing football is.
That's the thing. I'm so much. I have a coworker whose child has already had one. And I mean, they're fine now, but like, I'm like, wow. I have yet a new reason I'm glad I didn't really do sports.
Mm.
Yeah. So. By the buzzing of my phone. No, that's just Grubhub bugging me about some shit. I don't know why. I hate that with certain apps that I need them to be able to give me notifications about stuff, like when they're happening, but then they also notify me with advertisements that I don't give a shit about.
Yes.
And there's not a separation. It's either on or off. So.
Right.
Food delivery ones are particularly like that. Food delivery apps should get off my lawn.
Do we need to draw another thing? Or
we don't got time. It's over.
We're done.
This is the end of this episode. But we'll be back in a week with another hour of dismal crap. Please keep listening. Because if you're hearing this, you might be the only one left who's still listening. And if you stop listening, we'll feel really dumb for putting it on the internet.
I didn't know you were so avant-garde. in your singer-songwriting.
Very much.
Good. That's yes. Great.
That was about Vietnam, could you tell?
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.